I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Wednesday morning on this Thanksgiving Eve 2018. Getting you ready for some Thanksgiving football and another week where we get to watch the Jets and Giants struggles. And the Jets went away for a couple of days after the get Todd Bowles out of here now stuff. And nobody was talking about him league-wide. Nobody's talking about him locally. And everything was quiet. Well, not so much anymore, because Darrell Revis yesterday goes on Joe and Evan. And great job by Joe and Evan asking the right questions. Darrell Revis slams Todd Bowles, says that a fight between teammates in 2016 was the reason why that season was derailed and they never recovered. And Sam Darnold, we still don't know if he's going to play. So the disaster is back on the Jets' back. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Gio. And I was thinking about this yesterday. One of the reasons I think that Darrell probably went on his rant was because, you know, he had the biggest backer in the world. And his name was Rex Ryan. And Rex Ryan told us all just how great Darrell Revis was and basically got Darrell Revis paid numerous different times. So you have to remember where the loyalty lies there. And I think that Darrell probably feels beholden to Rex Ryan for all the great things he said about him, because he was comparing Rex Ryan to Todd Bowles. And it just so happened that in that game that they lost that he was speaking of, that game at Buffalo in 2015, Rex Ryan was the head coach of the Bills.
Yep.
So that's the comparison there, I think, that Darrell Revis was making, and why it was just so fueled with fire, I guess is the word you would use. So I'm not surprised by any of that. And of course, you know, a couple of weeks ago you had Rex Ryan talking about how the Jets are going to blow the whole thing up.
That's right.
And that they should get rid of Mike Maccagnan as well as the coach and all this other stuff. So you have all these outside now people discussing the fate of Todd Bowles. I'm always uncomfortable talking about it, but we sat here for 2 weeks discussing how it was going to be important for them to beat the Bills and the Dolphins and Bills on back-to-back weekends, and for them to come out and lay the egg the way that they did against the Bills and Matt Barkley and everything else fueled even more of the fire of firing Todd Bowles. And I think that's where this team finds itself right now. And it's unfortunate that everybody's taking shots from the outside. And in some ways, it's somewhat unfair because, you know, right now Todd Bowles has got probably half of a roster, and it's being led by a rookie quarterback who's 21 years old, and I don't even know if he's going to play over the next couple of weeks. I know he's out of the boot, and he supposedly says he feels good. I don't know if they'll play him against the Patriots or not. I would throw him out there if he's healthy. If he's 100% healthy and he can take care of himself, I put him right back on the field and say, let's go. You had your two-week break. You had your mental time off. Now let's get back under center and let's play these last six games, and let's play them as if this is a small sample size of the season, and at least let's try to have a winning record during this period.
Yeah, a couple of things. One, I'm not disputing that the Jets roster is decimated, of course, but they got blown out at home by a team that probably had bigger roster problems in the Buffalo Bills, and with guys that were only there for 12 days starting at quarterback and guys they were pulling off the practice squad. Terrell Pryor was their number two wide receiver in that game, and they only signed him a couple of days, weeks prior to that, and then they just cut him. So, I mean, that's where, you know, the Jets have their problems, but and we know that. And we were giving them a pass and the benefit of the doubt for a long time. When the Bills did what they did to them, that's when it changed things. And I agree that I'm not surprised that Darrell Revis is always going to paint Rex Ryan in a positive light and maybe Todd Bowles not in a positive light. What surprised me about it, though, was the fact that, you know, Darrell Revis now comes on pumping a... It's an Australian-based digital sports book called PointsBet, right? Now, we do that here. We're a radio station, sports fans. I am an endorser of these things. I'm not Darrell Revis. I'm not a guy who made
tens of hundreds of millions of dollars. What did he make in his career? Did he make $100 million in his career?
I'll tell you in a second.
So this is a guy who made all that money in his career. He's been 2 years removed from it, and he's a Hall of Famer. And now here he is pumping this on radio shows everywhere, including Joe and Evan, slamming his former teammates, slamming his former coach, saying all these things. Like, it just, that's an odd fit for me. It really is an odd fit for me.
In 11 seasons, he made about $125
million. $125
million. Thanks in large part to not only himself and believing himself in the way that he ended up getting paid, but also to Rex Ryan for doing what he did when he was talking about Darrelle Revis being the best cornerback in football.
Yeah.
Because now it's just inflated his price and made it very difficult for the Jets to sign him.
Now, we talk about stuff like this a lot. Like, I'm never going to begrudge anybody if they want to go out and make some cash. That's fine. This just seemed like an odd thing to me, though, with him and this particular platform and then the way he went about these interviews. Yeah, I mean, and I guess I'll give him credit for being honest, but if you want to talk about something in the past with two guys who are not in Jet uniforms anymore, like he did with this fight with Marshall and Richardson, okay, you want to tell me that's something? But the problem is, Todd Bowles was still the head coach then.
Yes.
And he basically said that that fight in week two or three, they were never able to recover. So that's an indictment on the head coach. Then he goes out and flat out says that they weren't ready to play week 17 against the Bills the year before.
But then again, it goes back to me. It goes back to then who is selecting the players, who's putting the players in that locker room. I mean, it's one thing for a coach like, Belichick has all the credibility and everything. We always seem to go back to him because that's the standard it's all set by. And he is able to control his players from absolutely snapping or going on some sort of social media rant or getting after each other in the locker room and letting it get out of the locker room. You know what I mean?
Right.
But when you have mercurial personalities and you are putting them into a locker room and it's a powder keg, whether it's Brandon Marshall or Sheldon Richardson or Muhammad Wilkerson and then you allow these players, Geno Smith, to be late to meetings and not do anything about it or not make an example of those players, then things start bubbling out of control. And I think that's probably a little bit of to what Darrelle Revis is talking about how that locker room wasn't under control.
Right. Well, that fight he mentioned, he didn't even bring up the broken jaw thing, right? I mean, that also happened while Todd Bowles was the head coach. I mean, it really does paint a picture that, wins and losses is a big problem, but look at all this other stuff that's going on that there was no fires being able to put out when the head coach probably needed to put out some fires.
And then you have Darrelle Revis basically saying that his team wasn't ready to play, and him in particular got roasted by Sammy Watkins in that game.
Yeah, I know.
So you got to be careful about what you're saying because, you know, when you start pointing the finger at somewhere else, you know, there's those three other fingers that are pointing back to you. You
right.
know, and I would always just be careful about the way that he said things and the way that they are being portrayed, given the environment around Todd Bowles right now, is not a good look for the Jets. It's just not. It just actually is more piling on.
Well, this is the thing that you were talking about. Now, you pointed to a lot of the press conferences and the stuff that Todd Bowles has to deal with. He's probably going to have to answer questions about this at some point, but this was your argument for saying if you are very serious about letting him go at the end of the year, then you might as well do it now because it's only going to get worse. If you look at the schedule, you look at your roster, people are going to be screaming season ticket stuff, and now you get stories like this coming out that he's going to have to respond to. I mean, basically, he is just there to get pounded now till the end of the season.
And it's really unfortunate because he's a really good guy, and I know that the players actually do like him and respect him and like playing for him, even though it didn't show itself against the Buffalo Bills. But this is the stuff that is the ugly part of the business. This is where now people openly are talking about his job performance, the way that the team has responded to him or have not responded to him. You have ex-coaches taking shots at him. You know, Rex wants to be opinionated on ESPN. I'm not going to tell him not to say what he's saying. I mean, that's what he gets paid to do. If he sits there and tells you everybody's great, he might as well go sit in a booth on Monday night.
Sure, right.
You know, so he's at least giving you an honest assessment from where he's coming from. But it's unfortunate that a good guy and a professional has to go through this because this is what's going to happen now for the next 6 weeks. It's going to be constant. It's going to be a constant barrage. And depending on how they play on Sunday against the Patriots, you know, it will either intensify or it will subside a little bit depending on whether or not they can beat the Patriots.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's the chances of that are slim and none. that they beat New England.
They'll give you a much better performance than they did, I would think, against Buffalo.
You can't be much worse, but all right. So let's say the Jets play five times better than they did against Buffalo.
And they lose by 10.
They could still lose by 21. I mean,
whatever.
Honestly.
Yeah, I got it. I understand what you're saying, but this is the thing that I was talking about. It's trying to stay away from this.
Yeah.
Because who wants to go through this? Now, again, I still think the NFL is really trying not to have coaches fired during the year. I think that they don't want that. It's not a good look for the franchises. It's a dysfunction that is a part of the NFL, unfortunately. And this is the ugly part of it. And you know, you got a guy, he's got a family. You got a coaching staff who's got families.
Sure.
They're all worried about where their next job is coming from. I'm sure that they are texting with all their buddies on other staffs that are probably going to be let go, and they're talking about rekindling relationships somewhere else. I mean, this is like it's a very upsetting time for the coaches, and to have an ex-player and a Hall of Fame type player come out and say what he said is truly an indictment on Todd Bowles, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, Darrelle Revis really did restart that Bowles conversation, because I think most people were talking about Sam Darnold and couldn't understand why, with the bye week, you thought he's going to be 100% and come out and play. I mean, there was a thought out there that Sam Darnold was just given this foot injury because they wanted to sit him down and they thought that it was a bad look if they benched him. Well, I guess that's not the case, because he's still not 100% at this point. So all the talk was around that. And now it's back to Bowles because of Darrelle Revis. So, I mean, I still think that there's a chance that they make a change and will, if the NFL discourages it, then fine.
They will not do it during the season.
Still think there's a chance, because if it could get so ugly, there comes a point where there's just no other choice. And the Jets, with the roster that they have, the schedule that they have, I mean, if they lose a couple of games in a row, 42-6, I mean, you can't do anything but say, all right, we got to start this now. Just something to change things around, because this isn't working. And then I know you're playing the Patriots, but you're still coming off a bye. Patriots are coming off a bye too, but you're coming off a bye. If you don't get some sort of effort, and by the way, I know we've talked about how all the players, they say nice things about Bowles and play for Bowles, but you also had a bunch of guys that looked like they weren't playing for anybody during that game. And Jamal Adams couldn't answer the question if his teammates quit.
Well, he better be careful what he says, because, those comments somehow that get recirculated in the media from just his appearance here or Avery Williams' appearance here or whoever's it is, you got to be really careful. That's why Eli is as good as he is at what he does with Mike in the afternoon.
Right.
He says nothing ever.
Right.
And I don't even know why. It doesn't even make sense to have him on. But, you hear his voice. I don't know what he's answering, because he's not answering really any of the questions. But at the end of the day, for Todd Bowles, it's going to be a long 6 weeks. And for the Jets and their fans, it's going to be a long 6 weeks, because behind the scenes, they're trying to sell tickets. They're trying to sell sponsorships. And all that stuff is – there's no excitement. There's no juice. There was juice when they were able to draft Sam Darnold, and I think they were building their future around that player, and they still are. It's just that it's now hit a speed bump, and unfortunately the coach is in the crosshairs.
Well, there was so much juice, if you think about it, and the way the season started with Darnold and against Detroit. I mean, they had everything, and that's what makes this season so frustrating, the way that it has gone, because they didn't have to do much. Really, the Jets didn't have to do much. Just see some improvements from Darnold, stay in some games. You don't really need to win a bunch of games. Just be exciting. Give us a glimpse of the future. That's really all you needed to do.
The thing that's exciting for me is that they're going to have a high draft pick, and it's going to be a top five draft pick, it looks like.
Right.
If they look like and play like they did against the Bills, they're not going to win another game. And if they
don't
win another game, they'll have a top 2 to 3 draft pick. Which is exciting, because now you'll add another high pick, and hopefully it's somebody, like an offensive tackle or somebody of that ilk that can actually support the quarterback moving forward. Because that's ultimately the most important thing for this. Maybe they trade out of it. Maybe they grab another couple of picks somewhere else. Who knows? I mean, the future is bright, and I do believe that Mike Maccagnan, I don't say deserves, but should be able to spend the $90 million in free agency and make the picks in the draft.
Yeah, I think he'll be able to. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of heat on him right now. So you got the two games against the Patriots, one against the Packers. I mean, even though the Packers have struggled, there's no way that Aaron Rodgers loses to the Jets in that offense. I just don't think that that's possible. So those are three right there. Do you count the Texans as an automatic win for
the Texans?
For the Texans,
yes.
All right, so they're
a division leader, and they have a defensive line that is basically
going to
killing other quarterbacks. As unfortunately, they snapped Alex Smith's leg yesterday, this Sunday. You know, yesterday at the Inside the NFL program, we're talking about, you know, defenses and all this other stuff again. I'm like, you know, people don't realize that Alex Smith had his leg broken like Joe Theismann, 33 years to the day, same score, at the same, you know, same vicinity, different building. But the fact is that it just goes to show you how rough it is for quarterbacks. And there was no flag thrown in that play. I mean, there's a point as to why you want to protect the quarterback so things like this don't happen. And that was not a cheap shot by any stretch by the two Texan players, including J.J. Watt. But it's still physical. It's still nasty. And I think that will be a very difficult game for the Jets from an offensive standpoint.
And then going to Tennessee after
that's another one.
After this game.
Think about the defenses that they're playing here.
Right. So that's another. So basically the shot that they have to win a game, as we're looking at it right now and doing win-loss, is going to Buffalo, the team that just blew them out in their own building. That's the shot that they have?
Yes.
So we're sitting here talking about the Giants winning the rest of their games and the Jets losing the
which
rest
is amazing. But that's the NFL season. So you go from a 2-5-11 seasons to what looks to be right now 4-12 or 3-13.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's not a good look for the head coach.
I mean, it seems like it's a lock that it's going to be either 4-12 or 3-13. I mean, and probably, you know, the chances are that it'll be more like 3-13.
You know, what's really unfortunate is that 2015 season, they went all in.
Yeah.
You know, they had the veterans, they had Brandon, they had Ryan Fitzpatrick, they had Darrelle Revis. They went all in, and they came ever so close to getting to the playoffs. And then they had to restart it all. And now we're in the throes of that, and unfortunately the coach is going to get caught up in the wake of trying to figure out a roster, trying to figure out a quarterback, and playing against very good teams here at the end of the season.
But there's a difference in rebuilds, right? Like the San Francisco 49ers have had a rough go of it with this new regime. Like they've dealt with a ton of injuries, but there was a ton of excitement at the end of last year with Jimmy Garoppolo winning all those games. Unfortunately, he goes down. But then you watch them, they're competing, they're fast. You feel like there's something going on there. You know Garoppolo comes back. You know, with the Jets, that's what it was supposed to be. Things aren't going your way, but you're still competing somehow. And it's just not happening. It's just not happening with the Jets, and that's going to be the reason why they move on from Todd Bowles. I mean, they probably, when Christopher Johnson just flat out said at the beginning of the season that the win-loss record wasn't going to matter to him and if retaining Bowles or not, you didn't have to do much.
Right, and so now the next question comes, okay, if in fact they move away from Todd Bowles, who is the heir apparent? Who's the person that takes over? I just want to say this right now. Do not bring in a college coach in this place. Do not do that. You know, I know that there's all these people talking about, you know, all these different college coaches, you know, in the SEC and the Big. Do not bring in a college coach.
Yeah,
there's not that is not what is needed here. And the other thing too is, I think you do have to go offensive minded head coach. And I would also be very careful about bringing a first time head coach here again.
Yeah, I mean, these are things. Sometimes you fall in love with the idea of the young guy, the offensive mind who's going to change things, and you know the possibilities are endless. Like that type of person, like the Lincoln Rileys of the world.
No way,
but
not for the NFL. Sorry, it's not. It's a totally different league, man. It's a totally different way of dealing with players.
I know, but
why do you think Nick Saban loves coaching at Alabama? You know why? Because he's the czar, he's the dictator, and everybody listens to him, and he does whatever he wants, however he wants it, and he's got a bunch of 18 to 21 year old kids that look up to him like he's God, and whatever he says, they're going to do, and if they don't do it, they're out.
Yep.
I mean, you can't. That's why he didn't have success. He could not grasp the concept that the players were not going to listen.
Well, Chip Kelly's another example, too.
Yeah. I mean, enough already. I mean, you have to get somebody in here. Now, I don't know who's going to be available. That's the other thing. There are going to be other staffs that are going to be let go by their respective franchises. And there will be other coaches out there that have the background of being an NFL coach and being a successful offensive NFL coach. Or, you know, let's just speculate that John Harbaugh is out, because that's you're hearing a lot of noise there. That would be like the perfect guy for the New York Jets.
Yeah.
He would be a guy that has got the Super Bowl ring, he's got the Harbaugh name, and he would be perfect to deal with the media. He would be the perfect guy.
So I think there's going to be two Super Bowl winning head coaches available.
I would only take one of them. I don't want a guy from Western PA.
And, hey, wait a second.
I do not want a guy from Western PA.
Why not?
Here.
It has nothing to do with Western PA.
This is not Green Bay. This is New York.
I don't want McCarthy either, because I don't think he's a good coach. The Western PA thing I'll take any day of the week, but he's just not a good coach.
No, I just don't want a Western PA guy here. That's all.
But there's another guy, I'll tell you, coming up before CeeLo, who went to Super Bowl, who I think is going to be available as well.
Well, here we go. Now we're talking about job status and security and everything else, and there are guys that are trying to go to work and do their jobs, and they're going to be basically flooded with all of these distractions and questions and comments by everybody out there who's sitting in
judgment. Win a couple
more
games and you don't have to worry about it, right? Darrell Revis opened the door again yesterday. It's Boomer and Geo.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I'm the Fan, CBS Sports Network.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.